Okay, good evening. Welcome back to our learning Ashare, the Lui Nishmas and the Zecha Nishmas and Miriam Fran, Miriam Beschai Mitzak, Allah HaShal, may her Nisham have a continuous Aliyah in the merit of our Torah learning. So we are, now it's Mamash Erev Purim, I guess you could say. Tomorrow, of course, is Tainis Esther. And we are on page 159 of the second Sefer, if you could please open up. Okay. So we're in the middle of discussing Yiras Shamayim, Yiras Hashem, and what it means to revere the Almighty versus fearing for your own kavod, versus fearing of sin, versus fearing the Ribono Shel Olam, and what motivates us in our avodas Hashem. What do we fear? What do we revere? Do we revere other people? We saw the Gemara last time, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Do we fear fellow men more than we fear the Ribono Shel Olam? And sometimes the answer is yes, we do fear fellow men more than Hashem. And what we're working on is coming to a higher degree of doing what's right because Hashem said, and doing what's wrong, and not doing what's wrong because Hashem said, irrespective of what other people may or may not think of us. I'll tell you, I told the kids this, you know, it's so interesting because the Youngest of Women sent out this email. I don't know if anybody's on their email list.
Which one?
Baruch Manas. Message yes. From the rabbis. The first was about drinking alcohol, drinking alcoholic beverages, okay? Alcohol is a dangerous drug. It's the gateway to other, even more dangerous drugs. It therefore behooves all adults to exercise good judgment if and when they drink. Don't drink excessively in front of children, teenagers, young adults. We are not so naive to believe most of our kids will abstain from drinking. Parents must teach to drink responsibly. Do not elevate drinking to some glorious religious or social norm. Most children like to emulate their parents. Excessive drinking is not just a Purim problem, and it's not just a kid problem. It's a Shabbos problem, Yom Tov problem, midweek problem, USA problem, Israel problem, and adult problem. That was part one. Part two, which everyone needs to be reminded of. Part two is on Mishloach Maas, and you know, I went to do my Mishloach Maas show. I'm talking about, do we fear Hashem or do we fear fellow man? So I went to do my Mishloach Maas shopping on Sunday, Baruch Hashem. And I came home and I said, you know, I see all these people in the store, they're all doing the same thing as me, in Amazing Savings, in ColSave, wherever you get your stuff, wine, chocolates, nicer packages, less nice packages. And I came home and I said to the kids, this year we're fulfilling the mitzvah Mishloach Manos. What's the mitzvah Mishloach Manos? The mitzvah Mishloach Manos is two foods that are su'uda ready to one person. The Rambam writes, you should spend more on Matanas Avyonim than on Su'udas Purim and Mishloach Maas. So one of my sons says, Mommy, none of my friends will ever come to my house again. So it's a problem with kids. It has taken on a whole different dimension. It doesn't even resemble the original mitzvah. The original mitzvah was because, I hear Rav Shai Shechter give a share on this, the original mitzvah was instituted, as people, I'm talking about back in the Shtetach in Europe, not when you have a plethora of food, there's so much we don't know what to do with. So your neighbor might not have food for Su'udas Purim. So if everybody gives their neighbor one package with two Su'uda ready foods, then everybody has something to eat for Purim. That's what the mitzvah's for. So I came away, told the kids that's what we're doing this year. It was really a joke, because why? I can't do that this year. But that when we talk about Yiras Shamayim or Yiras Ha'adam, the truth is it applies to many aspects of our life. Why can't I do that? Yes, I could scar my children and maybe social services will take me away. I don't know. Mishloach Manos from the Youngest of Women Rabbis. We have seen the evolution of a mitzvah, which is to send two cooked items into an extravagant effort to outspend and outdo our friends and neighbors. So when I told the kids this, the same son who said, my friends will never come over, he says, Mommy, we're giving out three things, popcorn, Mike and Ike's, and a mini chocolate bar. We're not trying to outdo anybody. I said, that's true. Much of Mishloach Manos, this is continuing, leads to Baal Tashchis, wasting of food, which is an Isra D'Oraisa, by the way. We live in difficult financial times. Let's go back to simplicity. Send simple Mishloach Manos. If you have more money to spend, then give it to the poor. Let your friends know this year you have concentrated your efforts on Matanos L'Avyonim. Tell your friends you are doing it in honor of your friends who don't receive Mishloach Manos from you this year. So when I got that, I first of all felt very validated. But my point is that this is an example. Sometimes we don't do what we feel we want to do. We don't do the proper thing to do because, why? Is it because I'm afraid of Hashem in this case? Because there's a societal norm that dictates what I have to do, even if I don't necessarily want to do it. And that is some degree of saying, Yiras HaAdam. I'm not saying I fear But like, what are you going to do? I mean, what am I going to tell the kids? What am I going to start the revolution? You know, this year, we're mamash fulfilling the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos. Imagine if I took all the money. Yes, we give Matanos Avyonim, but the extra money that you spend on Mishloach Manos and put it all to Matanos Avyonim. There would be mamash if everyone did it, thousands and thousands of more dollars. I know everyone gives Matanos Avyonim. Come on. So it's something to keep in mind that this does come into play in many aspects of our lives, and this is a very good example of it. It's not some far-fetched idea. The truth is, why do we act like we act? And who do we revere more? And where is our yira guided towards? Towards Ribono Shel'Olam or towards society who tells me I have to act in a certain way? Okay, of course, Rav Shai spoke about this in his shir. There is the aspect of Mishloach Manos, of enhancing Bein Adam L'Chaveiro and camaraderie between friends, but there is still a limit to how much needs to be done. It's something to keep in mind. Having said all this, I'm not giving one food package to one person. Mishloach Manos Yishreyu. So I told my son, you know, if I give a bilkel and a challah roll to the neighbors, then I fulfill the mitzvah. That's it. I fulfill the mitzvah. I'm not going to do that. Why not? Because I have Yiras Adam. I also don't want my children to feel like Nebuch, the only kids in town who aren't giving their friends Mishloach Manos, but it's something to keep in mind. Okay, the Ramchal writes that the first three levels comprise the gateway to serving Hashem. The lowest level of Yira, fear of punishment, seems easy to attain, but the truth of the matter is it cannot be easily attained. Part of the reason, he's going to explain why this is so, but part of the reason it can't be easily attained is because we don't have true belief, ultimately, in fear of punishment. If we really believed that if everything negative I did or forbidden I did would lead to punishment. So if I really believed that, would I ever do it? No, because I would feel that punishment was imminent. In a way, excuse me, tzara'as, we're in Vayikra, tzav, shmini, tazriya, mitzorah, not so far from tazriya, mitzorah. In a way, it's a bracha. Why is it a bracha? Because you see the instant effect from the Ribono Shel Olam of sin. But today, we don't have that anymore. So it's very hard to fear punishment if I don't have that realization before me. We will explain why this is so. A human being is a combination of body and soul. That's clearly true. Where does this go back to? Which pasuk in the Torah? It's a pasuk that I oft quote for different reasons. What pasuk does this go back to? That a human being is a body and a soul?
Gracious.
Okay, good. That, say it again, Joanna.
I'm trying to remember the
no, say what you said.
That in the beginning, when...
So you know the pasuk, and I do quote it often. Perek Beis Pasuk Zayin is Vayitzah Hashem Elokim Es HaAdam. Hashem Elokim created man. What is man made of? Afar Min HaAdamah. So which aspect of that? Gashmias, physicality, body. Vayipach Ba'apav Nishmas Chayim. What is that? My neshama, my soul of life was blown into Adam. Vayi Adam l'nefesh chayi. So when is man a living being? The pasuk tells you a formula. The formula is God Elohim created the physical side of man. Then he blew into him the soul of life. And only then is man a living being. So man is comprised of body and soul. The body sees. The body hears. The body feels things of this world. So the body can touch things of this world. I could feel the water shaking because that's part of my physicality. Afra min ha'adamah. The neshama, on the other hand, which is a chelek alokai mima, which is a famous pasuk from Iyov, which he quotes, sees, hears, feels, and even can smell spirituality. By the way, interesting he says that, because I saw brought down that, I think it's the B'nai Sachar says, or maybe B'nai Sachar, maybe he's quoting somebody else, when Mashiach comes, there will be a certain scent. Did you ever hear that? I'm not making this up. That when Mashiach comes, there will be a certain scent. It's very interesting. So the neshama can hear, the neshama could see, the neshama can feel, the neshama can even smell spirituality. So there's a very interesting Ramban, which I never saw before, which I probably should have looked at before, considering how often I quote this pasuk, Bereishis 2:7. But I'm just going to share with you what the Ramban says on this pasuk when man is created body and soul. It's very, very interesting. Ready? Very interesting. I just want to see where I want to start. Okay. And a little bit in. Vida, you should know. Ki hamischakmim b'mechkar nechaku b'adam. Mischakmim are what? The wise men, the philosophers in philosophy have a disagreement about man. What does that mean? Mehem yamru, there are those who say, ki ba'adam shalosh nefashos. Based on this pasuk, Bereishis 2:7, there are those who say, we learn Monday morning together, that there are those who say, that man is made of three souls. What do you think the three souls are? How do we have three souls? I'm going to tell you. How would you know what the Rambam is going to say unless you know the Ramban? Mehem yomim ki ba'adam shalosh nefashos. The first soul is nefesh hagidul kitzomeach. What does that mean? Nefesh hagidul kitzomeach. I just didn't hear. What did you say? So the nefesh is the spirit or the soul of growth. What does kitzomeach mean?
Like a plant.
Like a plant. Just like plants in creation grow, so man has growth. Oh, Tamar, but so koach hagidul. So this is called koach hagidul. So what is that? That's not unique to man. This has nothing to do with unique to man. This is when man, Hashem created the world. Every living creature, from anemone to frog, to octopus, to tiger, to tree, to orchid, to man, has koach hagidul. It grows. Uvo od nefesh hatinua. Then there's another nefesh, and that's the nefesh of mobility or movement. The first one is growth. So the tree grows. The anemone grows. It grows. The second level of soul is nefesh hatinua, the soul of mobility or movement. So what? Is that unique to man? No, that's also not unique to man. Why? A lion moves, an ant moves, a fish moves. Nefesh hatenua, she's kira kasu bidagim. You said fish first. The nefesh hatenua is the spirit of a movement that the Torah already mentioned. Bidagim, fish. Ubechaya, beast. Ubechal romes, alarts, every creeping thing. So interestingly, man is not unique yet because man, first of all, has koach hagidol, it grows. Plants also grow. Man has nefesh hatenua. Man is able to move. Animals also move. What distinguishes us from beasts? And what distinguishes us from plants? Hashlishis. What did you say?
Speech.
So interesting, you're saying speech. Why are you saying speech?
That's what distinguishes us.
Oh, so I thought you were saying speech. Because Targum Onkelos on this pasuk, when the end of the pasuk concludes with Vayihi Adam LeNefesh Chaya, so Targum Onkelos says Vahavas BeAdam LeRuach MeMalala, man became a speaking spirit. So first the Ramban is going to quote Onkelos soon, but the Ramban says Vahashlishis HaNefesh HaMaskelas. What's Maskelas? Seichel. Okay, so that distinguishes man. We don't have instinct like gorillas have instinct. We don't have instinct like butterflies migrate by instinct, whales by instinct. Turtles go back to the beach they were born. You can tell by watching on the channel. Turtles go back to the beach where they were born to lay their eggs. How do they know? They don't have a GPS. They don't have Waze. They're out somewhere in the vast ocean. They could find the beach they were born, so they grow. They move, but they don't have seichel. They have instinct. So what distinguishes us? This third level of the soul. Okay. So perhaps, I was thinking, the Ramban doesn't say, unless I don't understand it, but it's not here. Vayitzar Hashem Elokim es ha'adam. Afar min ha'adama. Vayipach ba'afar. So Vayitzar Hashem Elokim es ha'adam. Afar min ha'adama. That would be like kitzomeach, nefesh hagidul. Afar min ha'adama. Plants come from the ground. My physicality comes from the ground. Plants grow. I grow. Okay? Vayipach ba'apav nishmas chayim. What does that correspond to? Nefesh hatenua. I move. I'm a nefesh chaya. Animals also are alive. They're alive. The dog's alive. Vayihi ha'adam lenefesh chaya, v'havas ba'adam l'ruach mimalala. Now man is distinguished from beast. Man has the seichel. These are the words of the Ramban. Okay, so it's a fascinating piece. We have three distinct souls. That's the first opinion. Then the Ramban says no. Then there are philosophers who say, Umehem yomu kizos ha'nefesh asher ba'adam mipi elyon. The soul from the mipi elyon, what's the mipi elyon? The mouth of Hashem, from the mouth of Hashem. Ba yimtzu shalosh ha'kochos ha'eila v'raki yechida. So listen what the Ramban is saying. Very, very deep Ramban. It's a little bit hard for us to understand this. But the Ramban is saying there's two opinions amongst philosophers. One set of philosophers say we have three distinct souls. Three souls. A, Koach Gidol. B, Nefesh HaTenua. C, Nefesh HaMaskela, Seichel. The other opinion is we have our Nefesh from the P. Elyon and Raki Yechida. There's one soul with three branches, so not the same. You with me? The first opinion is how many souls do we have? Three. Plants have a soul, we grow. Animals have a soul, we move. Man has seichel. That is unique to humanity. The other opinion is we have one soul with three divisions. Do you understand the difference? Okay. So, Valkasuv Azekufi Mashmo Yirmos Kane. This Pasuk 2:7, Perak Beis Pasuk Zayin, alludes to this. Ki yom asha yatsar shemes ha'adam afar min ha'adama. God created us, afar from the Adama. V'haya, this is so interesting. How were we first created? By the way, keep in mind, we don't know the time frame of Maisa Bereshis. Ki elef shanim be'eyet necha ki yom esmo. Kapitel Tzadi of Tilm. 1,000 years in your eyes are like yesterday. We don't know Hashem's time frame. We can't propose to understand the ways of the Ribono Shel Olam. So listen to this. V'haya mutal golem. What did I just say? When man was first created, v'yitzar Hashem Elokim es ha'adam afar min ha'adama. What is that? If you create a life, not a life form, a human form, dust from the earth, what do you have? The golem. That's exactly his words. Vahaya mutal golem. Who is laying there? A golem. Ke'evin dumam. What's dumam? Silence. Just like a stone. It was the shape of a human being, but there's no humanity. It's mamash like a golem. V'kosh baruch hu nafach ba'ap of nishmas chayim. So when we say that a human being is a combination of body and soul, without the nishmas chayim, we're like no different than I'm a golem. I'm like a lump of earth. I'm a lump of dust. I'm like nothing. Mamash nothing. Until v'kosh baruch hu nafach ba'ap of nishmas chayim, v'az chazar ha'adam lios nefesh chaya sheyisno e'aba. Man was suddenly able to move about. The golem has power to move. The golem has power to get up. Kimo hachayos v'hadagim, just like the beast and just like the fish. They teem in the water and the earth gives forth beast. Interestingly, now, who said unkus? No, you didn't say unkus, but you said man is a speaking spirit. Aval unkus amar v'hava ba'adam l'ruach memalala. Man became a speaking spirit. Nira shadato kedivrei ha'omim she'im bo nefasho shono. So he says, the Ramban explains, that unkus believes that man has three distinct souls. The highest level of the soul is v'havas ba'adam l'ruach memalala. What does speech represent? Which soul would it correspond to in the three souls? Na koach ha'gidol, plants grow, they don't speak. Na koach ha'tenua, animals move. Now don't tell me, I know that animals bark and I know that cows moo. It's instinctive, it's their way of communicating, but they don't have the structure and the complexity of language the way we have. So when Unka says, v'havas ba'adam l'ruach memalala, v'yi adam l'nefesh chaya, so the Ramban says, zos ha'nefesh ha'maskelas. He's just using unklus to complement the first pshat. We have three souls. Where does speech fit in? It represents the nefesh ha'maskelas. Asher nafcha Hashem ba'apav, that God blew into our nostrils, ha'isabo l'nefesh midaberes, then we became a what? A speaking spirit. So it's speech that distinguishes us from all beasts. By the way, that's a very frightening thought. Because if we misuse and abuse our koach ha'dibra, if we don't use koach ha'dibra properly, what are we really making ourselves into?
Animals.
What?
Animals.
Animals. No, mamish. And we can. What did you say? Until golem. So he says about the golem, yeah, but we're, by not using that koach hamaskelus and nefesh hamaskelus properly, so what we're really doing is reducing ourselves to the level of golem. Ka'aven dumam, like a, I have a very free environment. Like a stone, she likes us. She told me she's leaving early. Chai, I'm telling them that you really like us, but you told me you have to leave early. She told me today, could she leave early? I said, better you should come for some learning than no learning at all. Ke'evin dumam, like a lifeless lump. So you're using your speech, but how are you using your speech? I'm talking to myself. It's Musa. I'm using my speech. So what am I? Am I like a lump of dirt, like a golem, like a stone? Yeah, I might be using my speech, but if I'm barking whatever comes to mind, what kind of person am I? Okay. One second, I just want to see if I want to quote you anything else. I just want to tell you how he ends. It's a very deep piece. It's talking about the creation of man. I really wanted to bring it to you because I never saw this Rambam before. Chatasi, I should have seen this Rambam before, even though I'm working on not saying I should have. Okay, fine. It would have been nice if I would have seen this Ramban in the past, but I saw it in the right time. I really brought it to you because when we talk about combination of body and soul, you have to go back to Perek Bris, Pasuk Zayin and Bereishis, because that is when man became body and soul. So the Ramban is lengthier than what I quoted. Everyone could look it up, but I think that's very interesting to understand how man is made up of either three different souls. The only thing that distinguishes us is our Nefesh HaMaskelas, which is marked by... So if I'm not using it properly, then what am I reducing myself to? A golem. And what am I reducing myself to? Animal-like. On the other hand, it could be you have those same three divisions in one soul. Okay. I just want to tell you the end. It's very, very interesting. When it says that Vayi Adam l'nefesh chaya, O Yomer shechazar kulo nefesh chaya, when it says that man became a nefesh chaya, v'nehapach le'ish acher, all his formings became a soul. A man actually became a new being entirely. Which is very interesting, just when we think of things that science have found. I'm not talking about the timeline of science, but whatever. I think it's just a very interesting point. When man was invested with the soul of life and became a nefesh chaya, he was an entirely new creation, an entirely new being. Very interesting. Okay, questions or comments on the Ramban? Yes?
I remember learning, it's really kind of a summary of what the Ramban said, that there are four levels of existence.
Four levels of?
Of existence, I guess, or of life, let's say.
Four levels of?
I'm calling it existence. I don't know if that's right.
Existence.
Existence. I'm not hearing what you're saying. I'm sorry.
So the lowest level is domain, which is like inordinate objects, rocks, things like that. Then there's...
So that fits in perfectly with what the Ramban is saying. So he doesn't mention the rocks, but it fits in exactly. But he says the man's a golem and he's Afra Min Adama. He says Ka'evin Dumam. Very, very nice. So it's rock, which is inanimate objects. So Meach, Chaya, and then the Medaber. So it ties in perfectly. So we're not called Adam, but rather Medaber. So in other words, back to the point that what gives us our humanity is our Koach HaDibur. It's a frightening
also,
piece of Musar.
Golem also doesn't have, he's not growing.
He doesn't have?
No, he's not growing. He doesn't have the second. He only has one.
That's true.
He's not growing either. He only has.
That's true. He has Koach HaTu'una. He can move, but he doesn't grow. That's true. Okay. So, a human being is a combination of body and soul. The body sees, hears, and feels things of this world. The neshama is a chelek elokai mimal. It sees, hears, feels, and even smells spirituality. And it's, you know, when you have an intense moment of hashgacha pratis, you just, like, wow, like Hashem is just here. It's so obvious that Hashem is here with me. That's felt on the level of your neshama. Page 160, did someone lose their place? On page 160. If Gehenna would be in this world, organs of the body would be able to sense it, right? Because it's not relatable by our guf, we don't sense it. It's relatable through our neshama. The organs of the body would be able to sense it. The body would naturally fear its pain, just as it fears the pain of physical fire. But since Gehenna, right, so a person fears physical pain, if Gehenna was something relatable through the aspect of guf, through the aspect of golem side of ourselves, so we would be afraid of Gehenna. But since Gehenna is only relatable, not through the physical side of myself, the Afra Min Adama, the golem side of myself, but rather through the Vahavas Ba'adam L'Ruachamallah, Ba'adam L'Nefesh Chaya, i.e., the Ruach, Vayipach Ba'apav Nef, Vayipach Ba'apav Ruach Nef, what is wrong with me? And because Gehenim is only felt through the Nishmas Chaim, so I don't sense it. It's in a spiritual dimension. It can't be seen. It can't be sensed by the body, only by the Neshama. And that's the root of the problem. If one is already in touch with his neshama, so he can generally use a higher form of yira, and this brings to mind the gedolim. They don't have a problem envisioning any level of yira, because they're in a different realm of existence. Like Rav Steinman, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, was a neshama who happened to be in this world. Not like me, I'm a goof. I'm a goof who's very much in this world. You take a gadol and a ga'on, and they're so in touch with their neshama, they can already use a higher form of yira. For example, the Ramchal says, wise people fear because they seek Hashem. Because they seek out Hashem, therefore, they revere Him. They feel empty without that closeness. Why do they feel empty without that closeness? Because that's what gives them definition. They don't feel like a physical being. They feel like a spiritual being. Yes?
So last week, I wasn't here, but I listened to a little bit of the first part of your shiur last week. And you were debating why the Mechaber say that fear of hate is higher than...
Right.
And this is really the answer, because when you do a sin, so you are making a disconnect with yourself and Hashem. When you do mitzvahs, that's what bringing you closer. You'll get closer.
Right, you're seeking Hashem.
When you sin, you're doing the opposite. You are pushing yourself away. You are disconnected. That's why the fear of sin is higher, because it interferes with the relationship.
Okay, very nice. Because fear of sin is a higher level, because you know it can cause tremendous damage to your relationship with Hashem. Very nice. Okay, very good. You're right. We were talking about that last week and how to reconcile that. Very nice. Very good. Thank you. Very, very nice. So the Ramchal says, wise people fear because they seek Hashem. They feel empty without that closeness. So I just want to quote from Rav Aaron Leibsteinman. Here I go. When people are desperate, they sometimes grasp at straws. Individuals often consulted with Rav Aaron Leib about various sugulos. He told them the best sugula, this is another one of my favorite topics, I won't go into it. The best sugula is to work on oneself, to break your bad midos. That's not a sugula, that's a vodas Hashem, you understand? If a person in the midst of an argument with someone else, and he is right, and he concedes, he's mevater, Hashem will definitely take note of his sacrifice and supplication. The more ingrained a bad midah is in the person, the stronger... Yes, the Davin to Hashem. I'm working on myself. I was just telling this to Hashem yesterday, a certain midah. I kept saying over and over, Hashem, Korach wasn't punished because he was Korach. He was punished because he didn't ask Hashem to help him. I'm asking you to help me. I'm working on myself, Rav Steinman said, to do something you should say. Very difficult for me. Please, Hashem, with your midas harachmim, abolish and take away the difficult decree that rests on me and on my family. But I'm also bringing it to you because the next section, which is very beautiful, is how do we view mitzvos, our neshama part of ourselves, and how do we view the gashmis side of ourselves? He was asked, regarding skulos that are mitzvos, and some have no sources at all, one should preferably learn Torah rather than doing them. That's also a... important thing to keep in mind in the society in which we live, when people like, it says this in here, I'm not saying this, grasp at straws and consult with Aaron Leib about various segula. So he says, if it's a segula, it's not a mitzvah, and it has no sources, a minhag, you should just learn Torah instead. Anyway, so for women, maybe it's do a chesed or a mitzvah. When I'm asked about a person who has a bird's nest, he already completed the mitzvah of shiluach hakein. Should he give the mitzvah to someone else? What do you think? Okay, Rav Aaron Leib was very hesitant to agree. Why? Listen how he viewed his entire existence in this world as a neshama. Okay, so let me ask you like this. If you're viewing the mitzvah as a neshama, not as a goof, what would you say?
But I know people have done it that have shared the mitzvah.
So let me tell, first of all, I'm not giving any psak halacha here. If anybody did shiluach hakein and you come across another bird's nest, ask your rav what you should do. I'm quoting from this book. I'm not giving you psak halacha. Okay. I'm quoting this book for a hashkafic purpose.
Are we talking about doing shiluach hakein over and over again with the same nest?
Okay. If someone, because Rav Aaron Leib was reluctant and hesitant to agree to give the mitzvah away, why? If someone has $100,000 and it comes the opportunity to make another $100,000, are you going to give that $100,000 extra to somebody else? No. What will most people do? Make $100,000 more. If someone has a mitzvah, which is worth more than any monetary amount, why should he give it away? So if we perceive, if we're so in touch with the neshama side of ourselves, we view our entire world differently. He agreed, if a person who found the nest already performed the mitzvah, and the other person never did, or wants the merit to perform children or a new house, then you're doing a chesed. So in that case, you can give the mitzvah away. And that is doing a chesed. Since chesed is a mitzvah, he said you could give the mitzvah away, you could help them have merit chosim, and in that case, it's a chesed. But he would stress, even in those cases, a mitzvah is worth more than all the financial compensation in the world. And a person should look at every mitzvah as something more valuable than money. That's when we look at it as the nefesh side of ourselves. Yes?
So I'm just thinking, sometimes, you know, many good people bring in challah on Fridays, they make it themselves, and they give it to someone else to perform the mitzvah of Yimafrish. Is that like... Because first of all, are they doing it for school, or they're doing it because the person should get have a schus? Not a school. The person that's doing it, like the person needs a schus. Let's say I do it every week. So 1 week I'm
going to
give this.
So first of all, shiluch hakain is a deraisa. I don't know enough to say anything about the halachos. Today, challah is not a deraisa. It's a derabanan. Outside of Eretz Yisrael, it's a derabanan anyway, and since the time of Churban Beis Hamikdash, there's a mechokas, because it used to go to the Kohen, if it's a derabanan or a deraisa in Eretz Yisrael, but outside Eretz Yisrael, it's a derabanan, but it's still a mitzvah that we keep. That doesn't sound like a school. It sounds like you're just giving somebody a mitzvah. And if you give someone a mitzvah, then they amass credit for themselves. They have schusim. Okay? That's not a segula that might have no backing.
But
we have to be more careful with. What?
It is in the category of giving up your own.
Oh, so according to that's a different question. That's a different question. Are you giving up your mitzvah to give someone else a mitzvah? He would stress, even in the case where he said to give away Shiluach HaKan, the mitzvah is worth more than all the financial compensation in the world. Rav Aaron Leib pointed out, when it comes to financial compensation, which is value in Olam Hazeh, people make sure they earn enough money. Similarly, one would make every effort to do as many mitzvahs he should to accrue value in the Olam HaEmes. He would say this, hoping the question was rhetorical. Does one have more enjoyment when earning 10,000 shekels or when doing a single mitzvah? Does one have more enjoyment? Okay, so you're on a very high madriga. I don't know if most people would say that they have more enjoyment from 15 minutes of Bikur Cholim than they have from $10,000 more. I don't. If you're on that level, fine. If I'm being honest, if I mivakur cholim for 10 minutes, I'm not saying, if you ask me intellectually, what's a bigger mitzvah? I'm asking where I have more enjoyment. What am I more in touch with? Which nefesh of myself? My gashmis nefesh, which is like animals who enjoy this world, or my nefesh that distinguishes me from the vayipach ba'ap of nishmas chayim. I don't know. I don't know if I'm so quick to answer like that. I don't know if I have more enjoyment from 10 minutes of bikur cholim than getting $10,000. In my head, I know it's a mitzvah. I can't answer that so quickly. Am I alone? I can't answer that so quickly. The question was not, what do you know intellectually gives you more schar and olam haba? The question is, do you have more enjoyment when earning 10,000 shekels or when doing a single mitzvah?
Especially the same 15 minutes. The same 15 minutes, if I could do 10,000. Think about it. In 15 minutes, I could earn 10,000 shekels instead of doing bigger cholim. In 15 minutes.
Mafrish challah. I can do it this week, I could do it next week. How many chances do I have to make an extra $10,000? It's a strong question. What neshama am I more in touch with? Am I more in touch with my afra min ha'adama neshama, or am I more in touch with my nishmas chayim? I don't know. When he wanted to bring up the importance of refraining from sin, yiras hacheit, he said, when do you feel worse? After sinning or after losing $10,000, 10,000 shekels? That's the flip side. Do you feel worse from a single statement of Lashon Hara? Do you feel worse because you were so rash this morning so you missed Shachris? Or do you feel worse if all of a sudden you had a bag with $10,000 and you lost in the street? I asked you to be intellectually honest. Maybe not you, you're on a different level. I came home and I realized that I mamish lost my bag of $10,000. This morning I missed Shachris, so I'll dive in Shachris tomorrow. Where do you feel worse? Not intellectually, what do I know? What am I more in touch with? A man woke up late several days running. He missed Man Kriya Shema. He asked Rav Aaron Leib, what should he do to make sure he doesn't oversleep in the future? Rav Aaron Leib said, feel as if you lose 1,000 shekels every time you sleep late. Envision your mamash losing $1,000 every time you miss this man. That will motivate him not to oversleep in the future. I cannot be so fast to answer because honestly, I'm not on the madriga. It's a madriga and it's hard. Why? Because we live in such a gashmius world.
But also it's because I think people don't engage the intellectual side of it. Like when you talk about a physical reaction, like when we're talking about like the reaction that if Gehenna was physical in this world, we would be constantly withdrawing from it. Like I'm thinking of the concepts of like when you see someone withdraw from fire before they register that it's bad for them. It's because like it doesn't even make it like the, right? It's like the neuronal pathway doesn't even make it to the brain. It's a spinal cord reaction. So to me, it's like almost the same thing here. Like we don't think about it. So our immediate reaction is exclusively physical because like that's my reaction. Until I engage that more intellectual, honest part of it, until I engage my brain in it, I'm not registering the neshama, all the MS, the mitzvah schar part of it also. Does that make sense or am I rambling?
I'm not sure what you're trying to say.
It's okay. I'm trying to
formulate. Could someone help me? No, it's me.
No,
I don't understand.
I'm trying to figure out how to formulate it.
I'm missing the point.
But when we see $10,000 emotionally right away.
Right, I'm saying like I have that like immediate reaction because I don't think about it. Like exactly what you're describing. Like Rosh Hashanah is telling me like think about it. Register the reaction to make my neshama reaction that same gut instinctual.
Right. That's what we're reading. That's what we're reading.
Are you trying to say that our instincts should
Right, like the
word
like,
change
that like
reaction. Okay, wait, wait a second. Okay, let's. I don't understand. I don't understand. One person explains to me what you think she's trying to say.
No,
sorry,
sure.
Go. First of all, I can only hear one at a time.
I think what she's saying is that when something, an opportunity comes our way and we have to make a decision, so we have to train ourselves. Our natural instinct is to go by our book, what we like physically, but that we need to work on ourselves and train ourselves to start thinking about our neshama aspect of
and judging that. Every action, sin or mitzvah. What's the
benefit? I think it's more that like Rosh Hashanah was putting it in a way where I had to think about it. Like each time it was like engaging the entire brain, engaging everything. As opposed to it being more of this instinctual body kind of right.
Well, you know what's interesting? I'm still not getting the point, Tolly. I'm sorry.
It's
but
right.
The instinctual body aspect is actually the animalistic side of ourselves. We start off by saying animals work on instinct. The blue whales, how do they know what ocean to swim to where it's so warm there are no predators to birth their calves? How does the turtle know the beach it was laid on? How does the butterfly know to fly 3,000 miles to Mexico? So when we talk about acting on physical instinct, that's really the animal side of ourselves. So you're saying we have to train our neshama side to take precedence? If I don't understand, we're going off.
That, like, extra bit. Like, those instinctual things, they're all, like, I'm even thinking from a physical perspective. Like, it's all in the spinal cord. Like, never even makes it to the brain to register what's happening. You don't realize it's hot until after you pulled your hand away from the fire.
Okay.
So, like, until you engage that, until you recognize that, like, Gehenna was just as real, until you realize that the mitzvah is the same as the 10,000 shekels, like, until you take that extra step.
Okay, but it's very hard to get to that madriga. Well, we
no,
have to
I
work
know,
on it.
We
have to daven. We have to ask Hashem to help us recognize it because Gehenna's in the spiritual dimension. We can't see it. We can't sense it. Only by sense through the neshama. Yes?
I remember hearing reading it in Gedolim Sefer. There are certain mashkichim that they would actually, like a mashkiach and a yeshiva, they would actually give a knas, let's say a financial knas for someone who but it came late to Shabbos, missed Man Kriya Shema. Like, so they had a physical
point of relation for the spiritual lack. Because
yes.
We don't perceive when I miss a mitzvah, when I do an aver, that I'm losing a bag of money.
But they literally would lose money.
So this helps us answer our question about Rashi. This whole discussion really helps me. V'avtas Hashem Elokecha, we spoke about Shema a few months ago, in depth. V'avtas Hashem Elokecha b'chol v'avcha, b'chol nafshcha, b'chol ma'odecha. You can't compare one who serves God with love to one who serves him with fear. The one who serves him with fear, when the work gets too hard, I'm just telling you, Rashi says he'll run away. The one who serves him with love will never run away. B'chol v'avcha, shelo yelibcha chal gol ma'acham, davar achar b'shnei yitzarecha. B'chol nafshcha, afilu no tal es nafshcha, b'chol ma'odecha. Rashi gives two interpretations. The second one is b'chol mido umida shamode dach ben b'mida tova ben b'mida paranus kos yishuas esu v'shem Hashem ekra. On the other hand, sorry, v'yagan emzu v'shem Hashem ekra. But the first pshat of Rashi is b'chol mimoncha. This actually, learning tonight is really helping me. Yesh lecha adam shechaviv mimona megufo. So maybe it's not Yesh Lecha Adam. Maybe it's really all, not maybe, because I'm talking about all of us. When I say it like this, it really crystallizes it for me. Do I get more hana'a from being mafrish lechala, or do I get more hana'a from having finding $5,000 somehow that I won a lottery ticket, a scratch off, and I'm allowed to keep it? What gives me more hana'a? B'chom odecha. Wow.
So,
yes.
Also, I'm thinking just people that go into professions and they're not making money, a lot of money, like teaching. You know, like people go in teaching, you're not making a lot of money, but you make a difference to people's lives. So it's more of a spiritual kind of experience. Certain professions are more giving.
Baruch Hashem. Okay, but not everyone can do that. So while we're involved in the money-making aspect, we have to remember what's more important. As long as one is only in touch with his body, his chitzonius, his gashmius, his golem side, and not his soul, which fuels his life, the only way he can possibly attain fear of punishment is through the imaginative faculty. So you have to envision the spiritual world as if it was material. So this is really what you were just saying about the mashkiach. You're both saying it. I'm talking about the mashkiach, though. You're saying the boys who would come late would have a shear in money so that they could have something physical to latch onto. Then you can attain nira. The problem, however, is a few people in this generation are endowed with an imaginative faculty strong enough to influence their heart to fear spiritual punishment. It's true. We live in a hard time. We live in a hard generation. There's a lot of tumah. There's a lot of schmutz. There's a lot we shouldn't be seeing. There's a lot we shouldn't be hearing. And it influences us. The body can't see spirituality. The soul, look at this next line, which can perceive it, is hidden from our consciousness. There's so much tumah that the soul is covered by sin, covered by sin, covered by sin. We can barely access it. And our power of imagination is simply too weak. Hence, most people nowadays, unless they have powerful minds, find it very difficult to attain fear of punishment. It's absolutely true. We would never sin if we had real yiras ha'onesh. Our mamash would not sin. Forget yiras ha'chayit and forget yiras shamayim. I'm just talking about yiras ha'onesh. It means that on some level, I'm lacking the reality that there's a punishment at the end of the day for what I just did. But if I lose $10,000, then I'm going to be scared to come home and say to my husband, I can't believe what I lost. Never mind $10,000, $500. I lost my bag that had $500 in it. Do I feel that such a pain? When I speak one sentence of Lashon Hara, I'm talking to my husband, I'm giving myself musar. This is a very strong, very, very strong peace. Yes.
Rav Aaron Leib is telling us to use our imagination.
So Rav Aaron Leib was in a different world.
No,
he didn't have imagination. He literally lived by his neshama.
Right, but he wants the bachur to use his imagination.
He tried to give us imagination.
Right.
Correct. Yes, correct. Our great teachers took various approaches to this problem. Some simply stopped speaking about fear of punishment. In other words, I can't convince people. Anyway, just stop talking about it. Since they knew how hard it is to attain with the tools at our disposal. So if it's too difficult, let's not even go there. Others felt to the contrary. The main avoda is fear of punishment. You can't ignore. Like my brother said to me many years ago, and I said to him, Dov, a certain avoda is hard for me. He says, just because it's hard for me doesn't mean I don't have to work on it. That's not an excuse. What am I going to tell God? It was too hard for me? Oh, I'm sorry. It was too hard for you. The mitzvah and the Torah was too hard for you. Zachar, Shemar, Shabbos, Kachal. I know these are things that are not hard for us because of the way we grew up. Just substitute any other mitzvah. It was too hard for you. Shemar, Shemar, Shabbos, Kachal. So that's an excuse. And my brother said, just because something's hard, I don't have to work on it. The main avoda is fear of punishment. So how could you ignore it? As long as you have not attained fear of punishment, he may not move on to the next level. Let's just finish up. There's a tremendous danger involved in skipping over fear of punishment. And I think based on our learning tonight, we can really understand this. And I want you to know I'm going to try very hard, Hashem should help me, to utilize this tool of imagination. That the next time I'm about to do a veira or lose a mitzvah, I'm going to think to myself, Micha, if this was a bag of money, I'm going to try. Hashem should help me. I'm telling you seriously. If this was a bag of money, would you be so fast to let it go? Would you be so quick to lose it? I know the answer is no. I hope it will help me attain a higher degree of yirsa onesh. One who does, and that's what b'chama odecha means. There are mamish people who value their money more. One who does so may advance and attain love and closeness to Hashem. So you may feel very close to God. I'm so close to Hashem, but you're lacking the basic foundation. What's the basic foundation? Do you believe in Gehenna and Gan Eden? Do you believe in eternal punishment and chas v'shalom? No, eternal punishment, chas v'shalom, and eternal reward. Do you really live with the fact that there's a next world where there are ramifications for your actions or not? We will explain. So we are going to stop here based on the time. Ba'azos Hashem, we should continue next week. And Ba'azos Hashem, Hashem should help us. B'darach, sh'adam motzei leich, ba'amalichin osman. Everyone should have a very freilichin and simcha-filled perm and a good Shabbos.